appreciate the offer to come and to be able to preach here, and do thank the church and Brother Gordon for inviting us and giving us this opportunity. Do thank you for all the hospitality. Very, very wonderful to be here. Everything was very accommodating. Haven't eaten nothing. It wasn't just great, and we do appreciate it very much. we want to look this morning in Genesis in chapter 6. Excuse me. We struggled somewhat about what to preach, and I'm sure that if any of you preachers have been preaching more than a month or so, you understand that I wanted to preach out of Corinthians about where he says, where God hath made us able ministers, but the Lord wouldn't allow. And I'd kind of gotten settled to preach on Jeroboam and Rehoboam, where he had set up the two golden calves. I was going to preach a message about a God of convenience, but the Lord wouldn't allow. And so yesterday, the Lord said, it's okay, you can preach on Noah's Ark. Amen. And Noah's Ark, we go back to Sunday school, I guess, but don't ever think that way about Noah's Ark, because there's more to Noah's Ark than this boy can ever get out of it. There, and I love it, and I'm not a great teacher, I don't think, but I love types and symbols and stuff like that. I like numerology and that sort of stuff, and I think that's what draws me to Noah and the Ark so much, that I read about him. And God shows himself in the Ark in a great and mighty way. We find in Genesis in chapter 6 here, the Lord is disgusted with man. And if there ever is, to me anyway, if there ever is any scriptures that points unto a day in which we live in now, it's this. As he says here in chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repenteth the Lord that he made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart." It grieved him at his heart. Do we not live in that same day today? Do we not live? And understand to the time, if you start with Adam, and it's a wonderful study, if you'll read this, from Adam gives you a year-by-year dateline, all the way back to Noah and really on down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you can count that from the time that they were born to the time they had their firstborn to the time that firstborn had his son and so forth and so on. And so to Noah here, we're 1,500 years in. And when the flood comes, we're 1,600 years in. Noah was born 1,000 years after Adam. And think about this. Adam was 930 years old when he died. What does that tell you? Adam almost seen Noah's day. Adam saw a day of perfection. And he also seen a day, because of his sin, of total, unadulterated, uncontrollable sin, that God was fixing to destroy the world. You think about that. He saw both sides. He saw everything. And no doubt, but from his sin and what he did there in the garden, he saw that. What chastisement that must have been upon him. And something else to think about, just real quickly in passing. Do you know and understand that Noah, whenever he was living and building the ark, that he had a father and a grandfather living? Lamech, if I'm saying that right, and Methuselah was still living. Matter of fact, Methuselah died the year that the flood came, and Noah's dad, Lamech, lived only 777 years, but he died, I think it was four or five years before the flood came. Now, with that in mind, ask yourself this question: did Noah have help building the ark? I believe he did. I won't point you to no scripture that says Noah had help, but I believe he did. I believe Noah said, Daddy, Granddaddy, what's the best way to build this ark? He didn't ask him how long he wanted to build it. He didn't ask him how tall he wanted to build it, nor how wide, because God gave him those specific instructions. But I believe he had help. I believe he had wisdom from Methuselah and his own dad, Noah being 500 years old himself, and he having three sons. But God shows himself. I'm going on. I could preach for a long time on this, but God shows himself in the ark. In verse 14 of chapter 6, God tells Noah, he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms or nests, if you will, shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now we know that there was only one ark, but the ark served at least three different functions, didn't it? We know that it had three different levels in it. That is that triune God that we serve. That is a picture and a type of that. And the Bible says in Zechariah 14, he says, in that day shall the Lord be one and his name one. God in numerology is always one. He's always one. He's always first. He's always the most high. He's always the sovereign. He is one. And one is who God is. And he is one God. But yet, we understand that he manifests himself in three ways. God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in this ark has three different levels in it. And we know that that is a picture and a type of that. God always shows himself in the scriptures. What a wonderful thing. But God also wants us to see, and God wants us to see in this story a lot of himself and his attributes, if you will. You know, if you'll look with me at this story a little bit, you'll find in verses 5 and 6 that God said, it repenteth me that I have made man upon the earth. And in verse 14, he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, how long did it take Noah to build this ark? We don't know for sure. I always said 100 years, but I don't know that I necessarily believe that, because when God come to Noah and made this covenant, he says, I'll make it with ye and your sons and your sons' daughters. We know that Shem, after the flood, was 100 years old. 102, I think, when he had his firstborn. 2 years after the flood, the Bible says. And so for him to have a wife, means that it was less than 100 years. But nevertheless, meant multiple years. Many years he was in building this ark. But yet it was when God gave him the commandment that he said, it repenteth me, it grieves me at my heart, that I have made man like this. Yet he still waited those many years before he destroyed the earth. What does that show us? That shows us the long suffering of God. Peter tells us the same thing. Peter chapter 3 verse 20, I believe it is, talks about the long suffering of God. The Bible says we to see the long suffering of God and to count that as salvation. God was not willing for Noah and his wife, his three sons and their three wives, to perish in the flood. He was not willing for that to happen, so his long suffering, his patience, endured until they got done with it. Listen, would God just been just as just to take them out? He would have been, wouldn't he? But God waited on eight people. Eight people. Amen. Brother preached about the one man standing out. The Lord's not concerned about numbers, is he? The Lord's not concerned about numbers. He's concerned about obedience. He's concerned and has a love for his people. So we see the long suffering of God in that. And then we talk about that and think about that God had just these eight people, that he was going to completely destroy the world. The greatest catastrophe to the earth that has ever been, other than sin. He is fixing to bring that on there, and he's going to save these eight people. Let me tell you something. What does that show us? Does that not show us the grace of God? Does that not show us the mercy of God? Does that not just simply show us the concern and the love of God? What did it say? It said it grieved him at his heart. God has a heart. You know that? He has compassion. He has love for his people. Listen, and so we thank the Lord for that. The Bible said it grieved him at his heart that he had made man thus. Why did it grieve him? Does this not tell us? does this not show us what? The holiness of God. Let me tell you something. Whether it was Noah, or whether it's you, or whether it's me, or whether it was those wicked men who did everything in the imagination of their own heart, God cannot stand sin. He will not tolerate sin. He will not put up with sin. And He will make payment for that sin. The holiness of God. And notice again in verse 7 of chapter 6. He says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man." Notice this, "whom I have created." Look with me in verse 3. "And the Lord said, My spirit will not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Man, if you take from Adam to Noah, and you their ages in which they died, and you average them together, man lived in an average of 900 years. Even with Enoch, who walked with God, who was translated at 365 years, and Lamech, who died at 777 years, still the average was 900 years span. But God shows us here, and He shows us, He says, "I created man, and I will destroy man." He says, "I allowed Methuselah to live 969 years old, and now I'm not going to allow man to live that long no more." The story of Noah and the details of the story here that it is shows us the sovereignty of God. There's nothing restrained from God. There's nothing held back from God. There's nothing that God cannot do. Whatever the Lord desireth, that He does. Even the life of man, your life and my life, the very breath that we breathe, the heart that's in our chest that beats blood and keeps us alive, and all these sorts of stuff, listen, they're in the control of God. God has them in His hand, and He can make them to beat, or He can cause it to stop, can He? He can do it. He can do it. And then we go on and we see, again in verse 7, the man that He made, He says, "I will destroy." And in verse 12, He says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end," notice this, "the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And in chapter 7, in verse 4, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." God is a not only a God of mercy and of love and of goodness to us but and grace, but He's also a God of wrath. He is a God of wrath. God does not like sin. He cannot stand sin. It's not even in His vocabulary to do it, is it? Nothing God can do does not can never put His approval upon sin. I had a guy tell me one time that he's talking about Jacob and Esau. He said, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." And of course, he was an opponent of election. And he says, "Listen, that was he said he hated Esau because of his sins." I said, "He hated Jacob's sins also." So don't tell me that's what that means. Amen. But God hates sin. God hates it, and so God's wrath will prevail. And we see, the Bible tells us, as in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage and having a big party and all this stuff, and no man cared nothing about God at all. Until when? Until the day that Noah went into the ark. Amen. And then, it was too late, wasn't it? Amen. The Bible, you know what? Noah didn't have to put no apparatus on the boat to close the door.
Right.
God closed it. He didn't have to do that. And He didn't have to put no apparatus on it to open it neither, because God opened it. And when God closes that door, it's closed. And I believe at that time when they started seeing the floods of waters, however that happened, the Bible says the fountains of the great broke open. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And this catastrophe, it was horrendous. Horrendous. And no doubt they started beating on that ark then, didn't they? They started knocking on that door then, but it's too late. When God seals something, it's sealed. Amen. When God shuts something, it's shut. Listen, this is the simple fact, and this morning, that you are still breathing. And again, I'm like some of the others here. I'm not an Arminian, but I'm not a hard shell neither. The fact is this morning that if you're lost in your sins here this morning, you're still breathing. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, there's still hope. But there's going to come a day when that door is going to shut and all hope is gone. And that wrath, I believe in a 7-year tribulation period, and I believe the wrath of God is going to pour out upon this earth, and I believe it's going to be too late in those days. And so he says here, we see the wrath of God. We see in chapter 7 in verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house in the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." And then in verse 16, "And they went in, and male and female, male and female and all flesh, and God commanded him, and the Lord shut the door." And I want to tell you something. This is the preservation of God. Preservation of God. He preserved them, didn't he? Listen, he preserved them. He preserved them in the ark. And if you're saved here this evening, God has preserved you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He has preserved you in that. And the Bible says, now those that are in Christ Jesus, there is not what? There is no more condemnation. We don't have to worry about there was a time in my life when I laid down and went to sleep, I would have to worry about dying in my sleep. Have to worry about going into the pits of hell. Have to worry about the wrath of God. And there may be a lot of things that I worry about when I lay my head down at night now, but it is not condemnation. Because God has saved my soul, and God has preserved my soul, and He will preserve it. The Bible says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." We're sealed, just like that old ark. It was sealed. The ark was sealed with pitch within and without. Listen, that's a type of the blood, isn't it? Type of the blood. We see that God tells Noah, he says, "Noah, I want you to build it like this. Thus and thus shalt thou build it." And it's a blessed verse, the very last verse of chapter 6 said it. Noah did all that God had told him. Noah did according to all that God commanded him. You know what? I believe this with all my heart. If Noah had not followed the instruction of God, he'd have perished. Noah was not a lazy man, was he? Noah built an ark that was 450 feet long. And if I'm thinking right, it's 75 feet wide and 45 foot tall. What if God said, "You build an ark"? I wouldn't even know where to tackle that project, would you? But you know what? I think Noah and them people back then was probably more advanced than we give them credit for. I believe they was. I believe that people don't live to 900 years old without getting pretty smart. But they also don't live that long without getting pretty wicked, neither do they. We can't live 40, 50 years without getting really wicked. We can't live one day in this world without coming forth from our mother's womb speaking lies, the Bible says. And so this shows us, I don't have a real fancy word for this, but this shows us the exactness, if you will, of God. God does things not haphazardly. And I always give this example. God did not save your soul on accident. He did not save your soul in vain. He did not save your soul for no reason. He didn't just say, "Well, you're saved, do whatever you want." No, the Bible says God saves according to purpose. And He has a purpose for your life. I'm not talking to preachers. I'm talking to you that are saved here, that are sitting in those pews, that are church members. Listen, God has a purpose for your life. He saved you according to His purpose, the Bible says. And then one last thing about this, and I want to show you a few more things here. And going over to chapter 9, in verse 11, the Bible tells us, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, "This token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, I do set my bow in the cloud." Notice this, perpetual generations. The Lord has shown, given us a little glimpse of His eternity, isn't He? Listen, the flood of the ark was, in my understanding of trying to look at this, is about 4,400 years ago. And when it rains, a lot of times you look up in the sky, what do you see? The promise of God. the promise of God. God has given us, literally given us a visual of His promise. And I don't know about you, but when I, a lot of times when I see that bow in the cloud, it just astonishes me. It's so beautiful, isn't it? Listen, the world has in a lot of beautiful colors, and thank the Lord for colors and stuff. But a lot of times I look out the window, a lot of birds around the house, and I'll see a red bird or maybe a blue jay or something like that. Nothing's as beautiful as God's natural creation. Nothing. See a rose or a flower in the wild, the beautiful reds and the yellows and stuff like that. It's beautiful. And then you look in the sky after rain and that beautiful arch. And listen, it's wonderful. God is still holding to that promise for perpetual generations. In other words, you'll not outlive the promise of God. Not in the bow, and you'll not outlive the promise that He gave Abraham in that covenant, neither will you. He's through perpetual generations. And then, we want to go back here. God shows us, in the ark, He shows us a plan of salvation. A plan of salvation. Now, as He built the ark, and what did He say about the door? He says, build a door. I cannot stand. It just tears me up to see a picture of an ark with windows down the sides of it, with animals hanging out the top of it. I seen one yesterday, and it was only one story. And Noah was on the edge of the boat, looked like some crazy lunatic, and giraffes and elephants was hanging all off. It's crazy. It's crazy. The Bible don't say, but there was one window, and it was up top. So that tells me when you looked at the ark, you didn't see nothing down the side of it. Except for one side, I guess you had seen the door. May not have even seen the door once the Lord closed it. But you understand what I'm saying. He says, build a door. Jesus says there in John 10, He says, I am the door. There's only one way. Remember, the ark is a type of God. It's a picture of God. And there was only one way to get to the ark. And that was through the door. And you notice the sovereignty of God here. He says, Noah, come. He calls, chapter 7, verse 1, He says, come thou in all thy house in there. God called Noah into the ark, just like He calls us unto Himself. Jesus says, no man can come unto me, except God which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man, no person on that earth, whether they worked on the ark or whatever the case may be, desired to be in the ark with Noah. They were marrying, they were partying, they were having a good time in this wicked life. Until the day that Noah entered in the ark. But God says, okay, Noah, I want you in the ark. How do people say, well, how did the animals get there? The same way that Noah did. God called them. Amen. I don't believe Noah went out beating on the bushes and trying to scare them in like sometimes you see a chicken or something get out. You have to corral them and get them going there. No, the providence of God, the call of God, the will of God says, animals, go to the ark. And they went. They're male and they're female. God didn't send two males and He didn't send two females on the ark. He sent a male and a female. God hates sodomy. God hates homosexuality. It's an abomination to Him. And He even shows us that in His animals. I tell you, a lot of times the way it looks to me, animals have more sense than humans do. Animals do. But He shows us the plan of salvation. There's only one way unto the ark. That's through the door. That's through the door. He says, I want you to build a window. A cubic shall thou fashion it above. One window. And you know that there's only one way to get help from God. And that's to look up, isn't it? He said, fashion it above. Not down the side. God didn't want Noah looking out at the world being destroyed. God didn't want Noah looking out. And I want you to think about this. Lamech, Noah's dad, had sons and daughters. What does that tell you? God didn't want Noah looking out and seeing brothers and sisters perishing in the flood. Although He knew it. And Noah had brothers and sisters. And he probably had nephews and nieces. He didn't have no grandchildren, but he had sons and daughters, and they were with him. But God didn't want him looking out. So that's what I think. But I want to show the symbolism there. He said, fashion it above, one cubic. And whenever he needed help, he went to that, opened that up, sent the ravens out, didn't he? Sent the birds out. Listen, what does the Bible tell us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6? It says, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find help in a time of find grace to help in a time of need. Listen, that's where his help come from, and it was fashioned above. Listen, your help only comes from above. This earth will never help you a bit. This earth and the people in this earth that are lost and undone, they will not advance you towards the kingdom of God. They'll never advance you towards the things of the Lord. They'll only drag you back. They'll only drag you back. And so as he goes into the ark, this family and the animals go into the ark, which I think is a type of the Gentiles. Because what did Jesus say to the woman from Cana? He says, it's not meet to cast the children's bread unto dogs. So he referred to her as an animal, didn't he? She's a Gentile, and he referred to her as a dog. I believe those animals that was going on is kind of a type of the Gentiles. Noah and his family would have been a type of the Jews, wouldn't they? They went on first, and then the animals come. And so we thank the Lord for that, a type of salvation in that right there. And then we see that Noah was a recipient of this, and Noah has several attributes of himself. If you look and think about this, Hebrews, let's go there, Hebrews chapter 11 right quick. Oh, probably know this verse. Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 7 says, by faith, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And so we see here, he says, being warned of God of things not yet. What does that tell you? How did Noah operate? The Bible says here in Hebrews he operated by faith, didn't he? And I can't give you this. I can't. It's hard to give that example. But do you understand that Noah built an ark on dry ground, having never seen rain, much less a flood, only having seen dew come up and water the face of the ground. But dew sure ain't gonna float a boat, is it? But God can. God can. Noah operated by faith. But listen, people, this evening, the Bible tells us the same thing. It says we walk not by sight. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. And again, we see that faith in that. And we see, not only do we see the faith, but we see the faithfulness of Noah. Noah strived and he worked. Peter tells us that Noah was a what? A preacher of righteousness. And all the world that was there then, that the Bible records to us, lied in wickedness. How do you think Noah was received, being a preacher of righteousness and building a boat on dry ground and having no way physically by the carnal mind to get it to water? How do you think he was received? With great mocking and great ridicule. Yet he still kept being faithful to God. Amen. Listen, God may call upon you one day to act by faith, to do something by faithful and be faithful unto the act of faith. And it may not make sense to you. It may not make sense to you. And if Noah was anything like me, there was probably days when he says, I don't understand this, Lord. But he kept going. Listen, they may be call you to something where you say, Lord, I don't understand this. Just understand this. Keep being faithful. Because the end thereof is very much worth it, wasn't it? Bible says in Genesis 8, and God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. Noah was a righteous man. There in chapter 6 and verse 9 it says, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations and walked with God. Noah, we talk about this faithfulness, and as God preserves, what did Noah do? He persevered unto the end of the world. The world that was then was fixing to be destroyed. God shows us, and I, my time's out, but I want to just say this. God shows us the coming of the Lord in this, the end of the world. Listen, this history, if you will allow me to say this, is going to repeat itself. It's not going to repeat itself with water, by no means, because we have the promise of God. But the destruction of the world is going to repeat itself. And just like the brother preached, are you prepared to meet your God? We live in the same day. Spiritually speaking, really, probably literally speaking, that Noah lived in. God is grieved with this nation. He's not just grieved with America. He's grieved with the world. I believe that. And so so you just think about these things and give these some consideration. There's so much typology and so much there that I'll never get it all out. But you study that and look at that and see if the Lord will not bless your heart with it. Thank you.